I'm excited to be able to announce my friend Jason. Yesterday we got to do a marriage conference here yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really great time, and just really enjoyed that. I enjoy Jason and his whole family, and I just want to give him all the time that he can. But he is, we've been friends for over 15 years, and which is hard to believe, and just a great man of God. Was a youth pastor for a long time, but now he's running a media business as well, and just really taking the gospel out in a lot of variety of ways. And you're going to love him today. He's so genuine, real, and authentic, and I just love that about him. And you're going to appreciate him today. So give Jason a big hand as he comes up and shares today.
Good morning, everybody. Genuine, real, authentic. I think that's probably one of the best introductions I've ever had. That's what I want. I want to look like Jesus, right? He was genuine, real, and authentic. Wow, thank you so much. I want to, the whole time we were worshiping, all I could think was how precious this worship team is. Leading and ushering the presence of the Lord in. Worship team, can you raise your hand? I just want to, I don't know if they're... Thank you. I don't know. Maybe they took off to the back. I get it. After you worship, it's like, I need to use the bathroom and I need water. I get that. But something really touched my heart. I looked up and I saw the drummer, Nate. Wow. I just thought, I leaned over to Jeff and I said, oh, he's so good. And he goes, yeah, he's really good in summer, and the girls are in a band together with him. And he said, and that's his mama doing the trumpet. And I got emotional, and I was like, oh, I said, isn't that beautiful? So I just want you to know, like, your ministry, the music, it's so beautiful. And there's times where we go to churches, and it seems like it's rushed, and it's kind of a thing that you jump through and you do at church, and I didn't feel that way here, and it's very special here, and it's just really cool. So I just want to kudos to you and your team and to Nate and his mama and how they make Jesus look good. So it's just really cool. But anyways, I'm excited to be with you today. I loved hanging out yesterday with some of the married couples and just getting to know the stories and just chit-chatting between and stuffing our face together. And it was just great. It was a great time. And so I want to thank Pastor Sandy and Jeff and the rest of the team, because I know there's always a bunch of people that kind of team together to make those things happen. That was a fun time. Like, there's places that you go and it feels like work, and it feels like you're... No, we hung out and had fun and hung out with Jesus, and that was cool. So I just want to thank you guys so much. My wife and I had a blast. I want to point out my wife. My wife is this pretty little brunette. I didn't know what my wife would ever look like when I was younger. I was like trying to figure out, is that hot chick that just walked in, is that my wife? And I'm so glad that I get to point out my wife. I just think she's beautiful. She's a wonderful woman of God, and it's my little brunette wife. Honey, will you wave your hand? That's Alicia there, and there's my son, Ethan. Raise your hand. There you go. And my little girl, Gloriana, raise her. There she is. I'm very blessed that I get to have, I married up. Let's just be honest. I married up. So I look at her, and I always know that Jesus loves me, because I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve that, actually. So, but anyways, we're just so grateful to be here with you. And if it's okay this morning, I'm a Jesus guy, and I'm just here to point to him and just to brag on him this morning. So if it's okay, I'd love to pray and then jump right into it. Would that be all right? Heavenly Dad, we humbly come to you this morning. I'm so honored that I get to be with friends this morning that love your son. I'm so honored that we get to talk to you, that we get to be in your presence because of what he did on the cross for us. I'm so glad that Jesus knew to take off so that he could dispatch the Holy Spirit to come hang with us. And so we come together as one big family this morning under the banner of you, Jesus. And so, Dad, I don't want to say or do anything that'd be contrary to your word. I pray that you would prepare our hearts, God, and that, Lord, today we would be inspired. We'd be motivated by your word, and we'd walk out of this place different than when we walked in. And only you can do that, not a man. And so we invite you just to be with us as we jump into your word this morning. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's people said, amen. When I was 11 years old, I grew up in a place called Burlington, Kansas. And has anybody ever ventured to Kansas before? Okay, maybe one or two people. There's not a lot there. It's flat. At night, you can see the stars from that side to that side. It's incredible. There's lots of wheat, and there's lots of farming. And we lived in a farming community that you knew everybody. Farmer John was driving down, had his tractor, he'd wave, right? It really was one of those communities. And there was a library in the center of town, and I would always ride my bike up and meet with the other kids that were hanging out at the library. And I had a buddy by the name of Richie Epperly, and he was a fabulous football player, and we thought we were going to grow up and play professional football for the Dallas Cowboys. So we were in the backyard and playing football all the time, and one particular season of my life, I couldn't shake this cold. And I don't know why I couldn't shake it, but I just could not shake this cold. But I was still out there pretending like I was going to go play for the Dallas Cowboys. And I remember scoring a touchdown, juking and jiving, and my buddy Richie, because this is what buddies do. You beat each other up, and then you love each other, and then you protect each other, and then you beat each other up. Hit me right in the back with his knee in the lower right-hand part of my rib cage. And I remember the pain that I got. It was a lot different than what I had ever experienced before. And I don't know. I could have made it up and fabricated it in my own brain. I don't know. But it felt like maybe there was a little bit of a crack. And I just know that it hurt. If you've ever popped a rib out or you had bruised ribs or, it's painful. And I remember after he hit me, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to head back home. And I jumped on my bike and I headed back home and I complained to my mom. I said, man, I got hit in the back. She's like, well, let's put the electric heater thing you plug in. Yeah, let's put some heat on it. Maybe that'll help. And we tried to put ice on it. And over the course of the next couple days, started to feel like a little lump. And so she set up an appointment with the local doctor, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, yeah, you got a cracked rib. That's what it is. And my mom, at the time, she knew Jesus. And I love how Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, nudges us parents, right? It says, I don't know, there's something going on there, maybe a little bit more than just that. And she had that mom inclination, like, something's off. She said, no, let's go get a second opinion. Well, a couple weeks later, we went to KU Medical Center. And the doctor took some blood work, and my little lump had turned into a bigger lump. And being a kid, you don't know about cancer, you don't know about scares, you don't know anything. And my mom started acting weird, and basically I could tell that something was wrong in that doctor's appointment, and they wanted to admit me right away. And so they started taking out blood work, and long story short, I was diagnosed with a terminal bone cancer within the matter of 4 weeks. And I tell you, it rocks your world. My mom and I, we were new Christians at the time. We started going to a little Assembly of God church in Burlington, Kansas, and it was a scary moment. I remember right away, you know how they do in hospitals, they throw you a garb and they say, hey, make sure you cover up the back end and go jump into bed. We're going to start testing a lot of things. Okay, sure. So I made the hospital my home for several months. And long story short, this is the goodness of our God. And every time I mention it, I get worked up and emotional over it. I had a team of 11 doctors. Poking, prodding, checking me out, sniffing me, smelling me, poking, prodding. You know how they do. Talking amongst themselves. And long story short, I received a miracle. that terminal bone cancer. They don't know why, and on all my documents, it shared cure unknown, in quotation marks, miracle. Pretty cool. Our God is a healing God. So it's interesting to have that happen to you as a young man when you grow up. But something happens when you become a dad or a mom. You'll take a million bullets, right? You'll go through the fire for your kid. Hurt me, leave my kid alone. Well, a number of years ago, maybe a year and a half, 2.5 years ago, my little girl comes home and I'm privileged to have a boy and a girl. I always wanted a boy and a girl, but little girls, I don't know what it is about you little girls. You turn us guys into mush. You just look at it. You don't have to say anything. It's over. Sure. You want the car keys too? Whatever you want, right? So this little girl's got me wrapped, and she knows this. We've had this conversation, so I'm not saying anything that she doesn't already know, but she's got her daddy, right? And she comes home, and there is a lump on the back of her head. Now, knowing what I've gone through, and I got the scars and the shirts and all that to prove what I'd been through and the goodness of God, something the dad side of me tenses up. And I said, well, we sit down, and I'm like, show me where this lump is. And if I'm honest, when I started to feel that lump, it took me back to when I was 11 years old, reaching around and feeling a lump that felt the exact same way. And everything on the inside of me, as a parent, as you know, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And I go into dad mode. And sometimes dad mode isn't always filled full of Jesus. Scared, freaking out, anger, wanting to punch holes in the wall. Oh no, this ain't gonna happen. And then finally, after you go through those emotions, you start talking to your spouse. You start talking to your heavenly dad. And I'll never forget the conversation that I had after Alicia and I started talking. I had to get alone till I wasn't alone anymore, right? And I said, hey, Dad, I love this little girl a lot. And I can't afford to have anything happen to her. And I don't ever want to lose her over anything stupid. And I begin to pray. What I would like for us to talk about this morning is a very scary prayer. A scary prayer is a prayer out of desperation. It's one of those prayers where man can't really intervene. You're going to need heavenly help. It's a cry where you're absolutely 100% leaning upon the Lord. And if he doesn't pull through, it could be bad. That's a scary prayer. This is where I like to brag on our Lord. We don't know what that thing was that was on our head, but we kept feeling it. And the warrior on the inside of me raised up. And I started reaching out to friends that were prayer warriors. And I started talking to God like I had never talked to God before. Can I get an amen? And we started praying strong but scary prayers. You will not die. You do not have bone cancer. I speak life into your body. And I started speaking things and praying things. I started acting even a little bit different. I started walking around and strutting, not in an arrogant way, but in a confident way, knowing my God is going to take care. He's got to show up. And can I just brag on Jesus yet again? That lump that was behind her head started shrinking and disappeared. I know that doesn't always happen. I have good friends that have had lumps and all kinds of different things, and it didn't always turn out that way. And I don't know why, and I'm not here to talk about that, but I'm here to brag about what Jesus has done for us. I'm here to talk about prayers that are scary and how we need to interweave these prayers into everyday life. Amen. Prayers that mean business. So, let's see what Scripture has to say. Amen. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that I really love a lot. It's found in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we're going to read from 13 through 17. We're going to let kind of the Word of God just kind of preach itself. I think those are the best sermons. We need to just let the Word of God say what He wrote, right, through man. James chapter 5, 13 through 17. And I know there's a lot of people with a lot of different versions that are out there. I love the Message version. I love it. I would encourage you, it's not a study version probably. It is definitely a paraphrase. So if you try to go study in the Bible and pulling out words and getting into the Greek and the Hebrew, you're going to get lost and confused. But the Message Bible is really great for grabbing a modern day translation. But let's read that this morning. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? Well, you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15, "Such a prayer offered in faith might heal the sick." Might heal the sick? What will heal the sick, and the Lord might make you well. No. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, what will happen? You'll be forgiven. Pretty cool. Verse 16, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, guess what? None fell for 3.5 years. How would you like that? Yeah, we haven't seen any rain here for quite a while. Sorry, man, I prayed. Forgive me. I'll talk to him. We got this. 3.5 years, right? Wow. What a passage of Scripture. Prayers that are scary prayers. What if I said that God wants to see us, his kids, walk around praying scary prayers? Prayers that mean business. Prayers that move and shake. Not careful prayers. Warrior-like prayers. Amen? Prayers knowing that Dad is a big dad. He's got things under control. He's a healer. He's a dad, and we're his kids. One of the things that I've always loved about Jeff is that at any time, his daughters can run right in and sit on his lap whenever they want. And I think that's how our Heavenly Dad operates as well. Come on. Yes, I'm in a meeting. Come on. Come here. That's right. Sit down. What do you need, baby girl? Right? We're King's kids. So we need to act like it sometimes. We need to be reminded of it. We need to know that he is a dad that hears our cries and our prayers, even when they sound scary, and even when it's our last line of defense, which is the best kind of prayer. Man can't help you. We need heavenly help. And I love this passage because this passage is saying, hey, you ever get stuck in that situation? This is what I want you to do. So the first thing, that stands out to me, I want to talk about three essential things in praying prayers that mean business. Three essential things. The first thing is call in the squad. We got to call in the squad more, don't we? There is something about team. There is something about family. LeBron James is the man, the myth, and the legend. But he's got four other dudes on the court, and he can't beat the whole team on his own. He's got to have other people on his team. But he's a beast. But he's not when it's just him. Five guys take him down real quick. I would love to see him come out on the floor by himself sometime and watch what the crowd does. Wouldn't that be an awesome moment? It'd be such a great illustration. And at the church, we as the church sometimes operate that way. We need a team. We need to call in the squad. And the scripture shows us this right here. Verses 13 through 15, let's read it again together. Are any of you suffering hardships? Well, you should pray. Are any of you happy? Well, you should be singing. Are any of you sick? Oh, here we go. Call in the other four. Call in the rest of the basketball team. Call in the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And then when you do that, the results are a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. It'll make you well. Oh, and I love this part because we are jacked up still, even though we have Jesus in us. When you mess up and you commit sin, guess what happens? You'll be forgiven. Oh, this is good. We need each other. We can't do this thing without each other. We got to have the squad. And I love that. I love that God has built it in a way that we are interdependent upon one another. I need Jeff in my life. I told him yesterday, I said, there was a couple times where had you not been in my life, I think I would have punched holes in the wall and probably hurt somebody. Anybody got just a buddy like that? You just need? You'll go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs if they're not in your life. We need each other. We can't do this thing alone. And even more so, what I love is that we were never made to do any of this stuff alone. We just weren't. Andrew Murray quoted saying this, each time before you intercede, be quiet first. Worship God in his glory. Think of what he can do and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Think of your place and privilege in Christ. And then expect great things. Oh, sometimes we come into God's presence and we're like, no, you're King's kids. He's like, come on in. Hey, Dad. Come in, expect great things. Know that you can sit on Dad's lap. And if you're ticked off, he's a big boy. He can handle it. Yeah. Right? But I love that we need each other and we need to have a certain amount of confidence when we walk into his throne room, knowing that he answers prayers. If it's a lump, he answers it. If it's a financial situation, he answers it. I don't know how he does it. He's super creative, though. Jeff and I know of a really, if I may say this, kick butt woman of God. She and her husband started a church. They go over to Africa several times a year. And let me tell you, she goes with a team of other spiritual butt kickers. They're awesome. I love to hear her talk about the power of prayer. But she doesn't do it alone. She does not go over there by herself. But she goes with the team. And she says, this is how it usually works. And because we have a media company, my heart's desire is one day I'll be able to go over with myself or a crew and capture this and bring it back. And I would love to come back and show you. But she's been doing it for over 20 years. And this is how it works. They minister to an area of nomads. When people that have no home, they're crazy poor. Okay, and they just float around Africa and they look for areas where they can settle at least for a little while. OK, okay? She flies in. When they meet this these tribes, clearly she and some of the others are of one particular color, and some of the other tribes have never seen a Caucasian person in their entire life. So immediately they stand out and they're like, whoa, right? So there's this awkwardness, and I love to hear how she breaks it down. It's so neat. She says, we come into an area. Clearly, we stand out. We show them that we're peace-filled. We sit down with some of their leaders. Inevitably, they lead us back to a witch doctor who runs or controls the tribe. We begin to dialogue with the witch doctor. The witch doctor begins to understand that we're here offering a different god than the god that they serve. And then typically, we have a god off. And I remember the first time she shared that, I'm like, what does that mean? What do you mean a god off? She's like, it's our living God versus his devil god. What? She said, yeah. So typically what we suggest is, well, we believe that our God is a healing God. So they have a god off. You do your thing with your God. We're going to pray and talk to our God, and we'll see what happens. Are you kidding me? So what they do is they go grab the sickest people in the tribe and bring them. Everybody by this time, you would think that it's a LeBron James Cavaliers game. Everybody from the tribe gathers around. They're like, what's going on over here? Hey, why is Fred with no arm standing in the center of the circle? They've seen limbs grow back. The witch doctor clearly goes, oh. Then they have another conversation about the gospel of Jesus and who God really is, and Jesus, his son, and the Holy Spirit. Witch doctor gets saved. They send witch doctor to get pastoral training. He comes back and pastors this nomad group. Here's the neat part. This lady's from the east side of Cleveland. She's not from somewhere else in the world. She's us. She's our people. She's an Ohioan. Wow. She doesn't do it alone. She does it with her squad, her tribe, her people that believe in the power of prayer. Isn't that cool? So now this scripture really comes alive. When it was written, it was like, these boys meant business. Nope. Any of you suffering hardships, you should pray. Bring everybody together. Grab the elders. Let's slap some anointing oil on them. Cool. So the first thing is we need to call in the squad. The second thing this scripture shows us that we need to confess our garbage. Let's look at verse 16. There's something powerful about airing out garbage. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be what? Healed. So what are you telling me, Jason? Sometimes sickness is attached to sin. Sometimes sickness is attached to unforgiveness. It can be gross and dirty. What has God called us to do? He's called us to confess the garbage. Confess means to air it out. And what I love about this scripture when we read on, the earnest prayer of a righteous person. What does righteous mean? It means to be in right standing with God, right? The prayer of a person that is in right standing with God has what? Great power and produces wonderful results. Can you just put your hand on your heart and say, I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. When I talk to God, big things can happen because I'm a king's kid. You should posture up a little bit. You're a king's kid. There's power in your prayer, especially when you are in right standing with God. And guess what? You're not in right standing with God because you're all that in a bag of chips. You're in right standing with God because he's all that in a bag of chips. He's done all the hard work. How many of you have Jesus in your heart? You're a king's kid. You got power. You got power. How neat is that? Praise God. Charles Spurgeon said, A true prayer is an inventory of needs, a catalog of necessities, an exposure of secret wounds. Whew. I'll read it again because it's that good. A true prayer is an inventory of needs, a catalog of necessities, an exposure of secret wounds. Guess what? Prayer, it's a time to get rid of the garbage. It's a time to confess to one another our garbage and to get it out. If we want to see prayers that mean business and prayers that move things, we got to confess the garbage and get rid of it. I was pastoring at a church. Everybody had left. It was at the end of a Sunday service. A lady comes in, happens to grab one of the ladies that are leaving, and says, "Hey, I'm looking for a Pastor Jason." "Oh, yeah, he's on the inside. Yeah, he's just right around the corner." So she walks in. She says, "Hey, you Pastor Jason?" Never met the woman ever in my whole life. Ever. Never seen her. She has her daughter with her. Her daughter, I thought, was mentally challenged. She just looks at me straight in the face and she says, "I was driving down the road and God spoke to me and said, ask for Pastor Jason." What? Oh no. Why me? Well, I think my daughter is demon possessed. And in my brain, I'm going, okay, God, you've called me to be a pastor. You've called me to be a pastor. This is what I'm supposed to do, right? This is part of the job. I think this is the job description calling. Oh, okay. I can help you. Can you give me a moment? Pastor Paul, you got to get over here now. What's going on? There's a lady here that asked for me specifically. She was driving down the road. She's never been here before, but she asked for me specifically, and her daughter's demon possessed. Will you help pray with me? Yeah. Okay, good. Can we go into the sanctuary? We have anointing oil in there. We need to talk to you. Okay, is that good? Yeah? Okay, follow me. We walk into the sanctuary. Her daughter starts clawing and scratching the floor and doing this bizarre stuff. Never seen it in my whole life. Ever. We sit down. I pull out chairs. I didn't know what else to do. It was the strangest thing I'd ever seen. I've seen freaky movies, but I've never had it like this in my real life. Her daughter sits down. I thought she was mentally challenged. And the Holy Spirit totally takes over and starts helping. Ask her about her lineage. "Can I ask you where your family is from?" I tell you, the Holy Spirit literally dropped in my brain everything that I was supposed to ask. We narrowed it down. We found out that their family was involved in witchcraft back in Haiti. And the Lord pointed out and said there was an open door there that they had allowed in, and that she was supposed to confess that, and that she had dabbled in it when she was a little girl and get rid of it. Whoa. Now, trust me, I have a church background, but I've never gotten into all of that stuff. It was really new for me. The minute that they confessed their garbage, the mom did, whatever that was, that evil, yucky thing, boom, it was gone. She confessed the sin that she and her family had opened the door, closed the door. Whatever that funky thing was had to go in Jesus' name. Confession is powerful. So if we want power in our prayer, guess what we got to do? We got to clean house. We got to let the Holy Spirit point out things that are not good or pretty or ugly or open. We got to shut doors. She confessed. Her daughter was healed. Found out afterwards her daughter had her master's degree. I thought she was mentally challenged. She was speaking very intelligently. Still to this day, when I talk to the other pastor, I'm like, "Can you believe that moment?" He's like, "I know, that was the craziest thing I've ever been through in church." Clear, smart, educated, put together. Confession is powerful. And the third thing that this passage shows us here is being earnest. Verse 16 and 17. I love this. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Earnest. Earnest is simply sincere or an intense conviction. When a sincere person that is in right standing with God begins to pray with intensity and conviction, there's great power that produces incredible results. There's great power with incredible results. That's why I don't understand sometimes arrogance within the church. People that walk around with, I call it spiritual swag. They think their stuff doesn't stink. They think they're all that in a bag of chips. That's not Jesus. I don't think Jesus can work through that. But a person that's humble and knows where the strength and the power comes from can do some really incredible things. Not because they're all that, because he's all that. Right? Sincere, earnest. I will never forget this. We had a friend who had a dying brother, was in a bad car accident. She came from a Muslim family. She was a Christian. She said, Pastor Jay, will you come and pray for my brother? He can die at any moment. He's on critical life support. And if you met her, she's so broken. Her family, if they were in another Middle Eastern country, her family would have already killed her. Because that's what you do. It's called an honor killing, right? You convert to something outside of a Muslim faith, they kill you. Well, they moved to the United States. She became a strong believer, asked Jesus into her heart, radically saved by Jesus, and she wasn't going back. Family despised her for it, so she had to sneak into the hospital to go pray for her brother, but she knew that God could heal her brother. She reached out, and it was so beautiful, and I saw such humility in it, but she came to us so humble and said, would you be so kind to just come in and agree with me in prayer? But here's the thing, Pastor Jay, we have to sneak you in there. I'm like, what? We have to sneak you past our parents. How do you expect to do that? Are they in the room? Well, when they leave, we'll sneak you in, we'll pray, and then we'll get out before they come back. I got to tell you, her faith moved me. She said, I know that if we get you and that other pastor in there praying, I know that he can be healed. Really? Okay. I believe that too. Yes, let's do this. So we show up to the hospital. She's on the phone with us, letting us know, hey, just so you know, they're 10 minutes away. You got to hurry up and get there. We're trying to find parking. We're messing with the thing and trying to get in. We're trying to find parking. We get in the room. We have 2 minutes to pray. We're standing around the bed. She's like, okay, go ahead, Pastor Jay, pray. Okay. And he was bad. It was bad. He was in a bad accident. I felt uncomfortable just touching him because he looked boogered up all over. Lord, you're healing God. We pray first off for salvation, that he'd come to know who Jesus really is. And then secondly, God, we ask that you would heal all of this in Jesus' name. She went, thank you. She grabbed We're walking out. They're walking in. Guess we walked past them. They didn't see us. We didn't see them. He gets healed. The guy comes to life. Her Muslim family thinks it's because they sacrificed a bunch of cows. She knows that she, in humility, invited all of her friends to pray and cover and sneak in and pray over her brother. Prayer is never learned in a classroom. It's learned in the closet. Prayer is never learned in the classroom. It's learned in the closet. Friends, I got to tell you, we're King's kids. There's prayer power in our prayers. there's prayer power in our prayers. Not because we're all that, because he's all that. He's a good, good God. He's a good dad. And I feel like this morning, as we were preparing, that we just needed to be reminded of that. D.L. Moody, everybody hear of him before? Kind of one of those kick butt men of God. He said, behind every great movement of God, you'll find a kneeling figure. Behind every great movement of God, you'll find a kneeling figure. We're called to kneel. We're called to pray. We're called to stand next to each other and not do it alone. And what I love about this church, you guys have been with each other for 14 years. You've been through it. You're still together. You still got each other's backs. Don't stop. Keep it up. Keep going. He's for you. He's not against you. He's got good things for you. So, I'd like to challenge you if I can. May I do that? I challenge you to pray a couple scary prayers. What's your scary prayer? What's happening in your life right now where you have to lean on your heavenly dad? Can I lovingly challenge you to step out when no one is around and start talking to him about it? Can I challenge you maybe to consider, as you start talking to him, pulling in maybe a really good buddy or two? And don't tell a lot of people, just pull them in and watch God begin to move. Because he's faithful. And when God starts moving, would you let us know? Would you let Pastor Sandy know? Because guess what happens? Stuff starts happening. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. And then we begin to see God move in all these areas. And it's like being in a Cavs game when they hit that last second shot. It's like, oh, yes. Our God's not dead. He's alive. He's working and moving. And he's very much alive. Amen. Can we pray together? Heavenly Dad, I thank you so much for the family that is here. These are good people that love you and love your name. My prayer for them this morning, God, is that you would revive any parts of their heart and their mind that has been challenged by circumstance. I pray for the circumstances that are alive and well, that God, you would inspire them today and remind them to speak to those circumstances, to not do it on their own accord or their own strength, but to lean on you, to give back into their prayer closet yet again, to not go it alone, but to pull in close friends and family that they know will pray alongside of them. To confess the garbage, if there's any garbage, God, if there's anything in their heart that's not right, so that they can be in right standing with you. And I pray that you'd keep them humble before you, to approach you with humility and gratefulness. These things can't be done without the help of your Holy Spirit. And so I ask and invite if your Holy Spirit would be the biggest cheerleader in their life. But thank you for my friends and my family this morning. Thank you for our time together, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. You know, I just feel like I'm supposed to kind of tack on to that. If you, when he was speaking, felt like that's you, he was describing you, if you feel like God is calling you to pray a scary prayer, I felt like there were two circumstances that might be true for you. Number one, you're facing something that you can't beat by yourself. And you just need God to step in, just like he talked about with his daughter. Or I also felt like there might be somebody here who God is calling to a high place. Like he's calling you to step out on a cliff and you're afraid of heights, like symbolically. And you need to pray a scary prayer. God, I'm willing to go there to that place that terrifies me, but I know you're calling me. If either one of those are you, would you just stand up right where you are? I'm not going to ask you to come up, but just stand up right where you are. Anybody? Okay, wow, there's several. Mm-hmm. People around them, put your hands on them, please, just on their back. Just stand along. There's somebody can... Summer, can you stand back there with Jan back there? Thank you. Anybody else standing? Okay, here. Josh, Lisa. Yeah, and everybody else can just stretch your hands towards somebody. God, I thank you for the faith it took for these people to stand up. Because I know sometimes it's just hard to even admit that you need to pray a scary prayer. And so I just pray that you would pour out your grace on them, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your favor on them, that they would rise up with wings like eagles, that they would soar on the spirit wind, that they would soar. They wouldn't have to flap their wings to make it happen. They would soar on the wings of your spirit, Lord Jesus, that you would take them up and they would stay in a place of total humility before you and yet combined with this amazing confidence in you, God confidence. And we just pray a special blessing on every single person who stood today, that you would do what needs to happen in that situation, that you would make yourself known in Jesus' name. And everybody said again, amen, amen. So, wow, I just feel God's power and his presence so strong over that right now. I just want to tell you about something real quick. Because I just found out about it last night. Some of you may know this. Did you know the call is coming back to Cleveland 2 weeks from today for one night? That's the organization that did Azusa, Cleveland. They're coming back to the queue. Like, I don't know if the call has ever come to the same city in a four-month period ever for a night of worship and guess what? Prayer. That you preached on today. Prayer. So I literally just, that's not sing and swing, that's confusing, sorry. No, because they didn't know about this. I literally just found out about it last night. Here's what you can do to find out more information. I think it starts at 4:00. I just took a picture of the website. Let's see if I can find it. Screenshots, that's it. A night of prayer and worship, Sunday, November 12th, starting at 4 p.m. Okay, if you want to know more, the website is Rise Up CLE, C-L-E, Rise Up CLE. I would love to see us take a big group again like we did last time when they came in July, because I saw God move in that place, and I am just pumped that they are coming back again. Like, what is up in Cleveland? Can somebody say hallelujah? Woo! That gets me so pumped. So anyway, so I also want to let you know that we have an opportunity for you to give a love offering to Jason and his family. They really poured out yesterday for about 5 hours. Maybe something like that. And then, of course, he spoke this morning. And if you want a chance to bless them, we're not going to pass the buckets again. I'm just going to ask Josh, if you would go back to the back by the door. Here, take this with you if you would. Thank you. And just hold the bucket for his people that are leaving. There's another envelope in your little packet that you got this morning that says love offering on it. So that's how we know that everything you put in that envelope goes directly to Jason and his family and their ministry. And make the check. If you're writing a check, make it payable to Oak River Church. And then everything, we just put it all together in one check and give it to them. Okay, any questions about that? I want to pray over that and then I'll dismiss you. God, I thank you for Jason and his family and the way they have just come and poured out of their heart and their spirit so freely and so generously, and I pray that you would help us to be as generous or even more so with them, Lord, with blessing them in this love offering. And I thank you for every person who is here today, that you have a great destiny for every single one of us to make a difference. And so I pray that as we go today, that you would help us to see opportunities to make a difference in the world that we live in, neighborhoods, work, wherever, that we would make a difference everywhere we go. And everybody said again, amen. Have a great week. Love you guys.